There's a result buried in a paper I read this week that genuinely shouldn't be possible. A team built a model that compresses text. Give it a paragraph, it squeezes the whole thing into a stack of numbers, then decompresses it and recovers 99.6% of the words. Essentially perfect. And that same model, the near-perfect compressor, turned out to be dramatically worse at generating text. Not a little worse. Dramatically. And then they built a second version with reconstruction numbers identical to the second decimal place, and that one worked beautifully. The paper is called Text LDM, Language Modeling with Continuous Latent Diffusion. It went up on Archive on May 8, 2026, and we're recording about a month later, on June 11th. Quick ground rules before we dig into why those two identical-looking models behave so differently. This episode is AI generated. The script was written by Anthropic's Claude Fable 5. I'm Eric, my co-host is Juniper, and we are both AI voices from 11 Labs. The producer of this show isn't affiliated with Anthropic or 11 Labs.
And that puzzle Eric just laid out, the near-perfect reconstructor that struggles to generate, is genuinely the spine of this whole paper. Because the headline of Text LDM sounds like an engineering story. Can you take the exact recipe that powers image and video generation, the Stable Diffusion stack, and use it to write text instead? But the actual discovery, the thing that makes the paper worth your commute, is about what makes a representation of language good. And it turns out the obvious test, can I get the words back out, is the wrong test entirely.
Before we get to the resolution, we should set up why anyone wants this in the first place. Because the honest first reaction to diffusion model that writes text is, why? We have language models. They're quite good.
Right. So here's the asymmetry. Generative AI right now is split into two kingdoms. Language models, the GPT family, everything you've used, generate auto-regressively. One token at a time, left to right, each new word conditioned on everything before it. Image and video generation went a completely different way. Diffusion. You start from pure random noise and refine the entire output at once over a series of denoising steps, like an image slowly coming into focus. And the image side has converged on a remarkably settled recipe. You compress images into a continuous latent space with a variational autoencoder. You run a plain transformer over those latents, that's the diffusion transformer, the DIT. You train it with something called flow matching, and you steer generation with classifier-free guidance. That exact stack is under Stable Diffusion 3. It's under the big video models. It's the standard.
Which means every multimodal system today is two paradigms stapled together. The text half is auto-regressive. The pixels half is diffusion. And they meet awkwardly in the middle. So there's been this persistent question, which paradigm absorbs the other? Some groups have tried forcing images into the token-by-token framework. This paper pushes the opposite direction, force language into diffusion. And there's a real carrot here beyond architectural tidiness, which is the computational shape of generation. An autoregressive model writing a 1,000-token passage runs 1,000 forward passes, one per token. A diffusion model runs a fixed number of refinement steps. In this paper, it's 50. 50, whether the passage is 100 tokens or 1,000. The whole paragraph materializes at once.
Worth being precise about one distinction here, because there are actually two ways to do diffusion on text, and they're easy to blur. There's discrete diffusion. You might have heard of LaTeX, which works directly on tokens. Mask words out, learn to fill them back in, iterate. And there's what this paper does, continuous latent diffusion. First, convert every token into a vector of real numbers, then run ordinary image-style diffusion on those vectors. The continuous route is the one that matters for unification, because it's the only route where language could literally share an architecture with images and video.
And the historical record on that continuous route is not great, right? This isn't the first attempt.
Not even close. there's a whole frustrating lineage. Diffusion LM, SSD LM, some latent space variants. And they all lagged autoregressive models badly while costing more to train. The continuous branch was looking kind of dead. The discrete branch was making the visible progress. So part of what makes this paper interesting is the claim that the continuous branch wasn't dead. It was just missing one ingredient. And the ingredient wasn't a better diffusion algorithm. So here's what the authors actually did, and I love the methodological discipline of it. They committed to changing as little as possible. Same DIT architecture as image generation. Same flow matching objective. Same classifier-free guidance. They even kept the exact time-step sampling trick from Stable Diffusion 3 unmodified. The bet is, if the recipe works on text with zero modification, that's real evidence it's modality agnostic. The only genuinely new component allowed is the bridge between discrete words and continuous numbers.
Which is where the variational autoencoder comes in, and where the trouble starts. Walk us through the bridge, because this is where your puzzle lives.
So the system is two stages. Stage one is what they call the text VA. A transformer encoder reads a sequence of tokens and emits, for each token, a continuous vector, one latent per token. So the latent sequence is like a continuous shadow of the sentence. A transformer decoder reads those vectors and reconstructs the original words, all in parallel. There's some standard machinery keeping the latent space smooth and well-behaved, but the basic deal is compress and decompress. Why do you need this at all? Because text is discrete. A word either is cat or it isn't. There's no 90% cat. And diffusion fundamentally needs continuous quantities, things you can add noise to and nudge incrementally. The VAE gives every token a continuous address. The diffusion model then works entirely in that address space, and at the very end, the decoder converts the result back into words.
And stage one is where reconstruction accuracy saturates almost immediately. On their easy benchmarks, the VAE hits 99.6%. On one data set, literally 100%. Every configuration they tried lands within a 20th of a percentage point of every other. By the only metric you'd think to check, the bridge is done. Solved problem.
And then stage two falls on its face, for some of those configurations. Stage two freezes the VAE and trains the diffusion transformer in the latent space, and the generation quality across those identical reconstruction VAEs varies enormously. Some produce a model that writes coherent text, some produce garbage. Same architecture downstream, same training, same everything. The only difference is invisible to the reconstruction metric.
Okay, so this is the moment to slow down on, because it's the finding I keep turning over. How can a latent space be perfect for getting text back out and useless for making text?
Here's the picture that made it click for me. Imagine two ways of storing every book ever written. Option one is a warehouse with barcodes. Every book is retrievable with perfect accuracy. Scan the code, get the book. But the books are shelved in completely random order. Tolstoy is next to a phone manual. Option two is a library. Same books, same perfect retrieval, but organized by subject. So related books are neighbors, and you can browse your way toward what you're looking for. Reconstruction accuracy only tests the barcode. Can you get the book back? Both buildings pass with 100%. But a diffusion model isn't doing retrieval. A diffusion model is a browser. It starts lost somewhere random in the stacks and has to wander, step by step, toward a coherent destination. In the warehouse, every step lands you somewhere arbitrary. There's no gradient of getting warmer. In the library, each step can actually take you closer. That's the decoupling. Reconstruction only requires that every text have a distinguishable address. Generation requires that the addresses be meaningfully arranged. A latent space can be a flawless lookup table and a hopeless landscape.
And the fix, then, is to reshelve the warehouse. Which brings us to the thing the triage notes call the load-bearing innovation, RIPA. Juniper, give us the backstory on that, because it's borrowed from somewhere unexpected.
It's borrowed from image diffusion research. The original REPA paper, Representation Alignment, found that training a diffusion transformer on images goes much faster if you pull its internal features toward those of a strong pre-trained vision encoder. Essentially letting the diffusion model crib from a network that already understands images. The twist in this paper is where they apply it. Not to the diffusion model, to the VAE encoder, one stage earlier, to the latent space itself, the terrain the diffusion model will later have to navigate. And the teacher isn't a vision encoder. It's a frozen, pre-trained language model, a small QEN model, about 1.7 billion parameters. The way I'd describe what it does, imagine a new employee learning to file documents. They could learn perfect filing through pure trial and error, and their scheme would work, but the organization would be arbitrary. Instead, a veteran who's seen millions of documents sits beside them during training and says, "No, those two belong near each other. That one goes in a different section." The veteran never files anything themselves. They go home before the system is ever used. They only shape how the apprentice organizes things.
Mechanically, this is just a loss term added to VAE training, right? Not a new module, not extra inference cost.
One added loss. For each token, take the VAE encoder's internal representation and the frozen language model's representation of the same token and pull their angles into alignment. Push them to point the same direction in representation space. Gradients flow only into the VAE. The teacher never changes. That's the whole intervention. It costs nothing at generation time, and this is the part that lands the thesis. It doesn't improve reconstruction at all. Reconstruction was already saturated. What it changes is the geometry. The big language model has already learned, from enormous amounts of data, how meaning should be arranged, which texts are near each other, which directions correspond to semantic change. The VAE inherits that map for free. The paper has a sentence in section 4 that's basically the thesis, and it's worth hearing verbatim. REPA improves generation not by improving reconstruction, but by shaping the latent space geometry to be more amenable to diffusion modeling.
There's a detail in the ablations here that I found weirdly delightful. They don't align to the language model's final layer. They align to the third from last layer, and it works better.
Yes, and the explanation is a nice little window into how these models work. The final layer of a language model is a next token prediction specialist. By that point, it's thrown away a lot of general semantic structure in service of one narrow job. What word comes next? The richer, more general map of meaning lives a few layers down. In the apprentice analogy, you learn more from the veteran's working knowledge than from their final second decisions. And one more ablation morsel worth keeping. Making the VAE bigger doesn't help. Capacity isn't the bottleneck. The geometry is. You can't buy a library by building a bigger warehouse.
All right, so the VAE has its borrowed geometry, it gets frozen, and stage 2 is the diffusion model proper. This is the part where they claim the image recipe transfers unmodified. So let's actually hear what the recipe is, in audio-safe terms.
The training objective is flow matching, and the intuition is genuinely simple. Take a real text latent, the continuous address of an actual sentence. Take a point of pure random noise. Draw a straight line between them. Teleport the model to a random spot on that line and ask one question: which direction is the data? So picture being dropped at a random point in thick fog and asked over and over, which way is home? That's training. Generation is then, start anywhere in the fog, take a small step in the direction the model points, ask again, repeat 50 times. The model has learned a direction field. From wherever you're standing, here's which way coherent text lies. And generating a passage is just walking that field. No next word prediction anywhere. 50 steps and an entire paragraph condenses out of static, all positions at once.
And conditioning. How does the model know what to continue? Because the evaluation task is text continuation. Here's the first half of a passage. Write the second half.
The prompt's clean latents get placed alongside the noisy target latents, and the model denoises the target while looking at the prompt. And then steering comes from classifier-free guidance, lifted straight from image generation. During training, the model sometimes sees the prompt and sometimes doesn't. They drop it 10% of the time. At inference, you compute the denoising direction both ways. The difference between those two directions is the prompt's influence, isolated. Like soloing one instrument's track in a mix. And then you turn that track up, sevenfold in this paper. Turn it up too far and the mix distorts. Outputs get samey and over-literal. They swept the dial and seven was the sweet spot. At eight, diversity starts collapsing. But the headline isn't the number. It's that a steering trick invented for make the image look more like the prompt works on text with zero modification.
Okay, results. And I want to frame this carefully because the paper's headline claim is roughly matches GPT-2. And we're going to interrogate that claim pretty hard in a few minutes. But first, the numbers on the paper's own terms. Everything is trained from scratch on a web text corpus, evaluated on text continuation across four benchmarks, from easy and in-domain, short news sentences, children's stories, to hard and out-of-distribution, Wikipedia-style text. The baselines are GPT-2 at three sizes plus two prior diffusion language models, one continuous, one discrete. Three results carry the story. First, text LDM substantially beats the prior diffusion language models. The continuous diffusion baseline, SSDLM, gets crushed. Second, their largest model at 768 million parameters beats GPT-2 large, which is 774 million, so a fair size match on most metrics. Third, and this is the one that closes the loop on the whole episode, the RIPA ablation.
Give them the Wikisource number, Eric. It's the best number in the paper.
There's a metric called MOVE that measures whether your generated text, in aggregate, statistically resembles human text. Does the distribution look human? On the hardest benchmark, with RIPA, the model scores 20.4. Without RIPA, same architecture, same training, a VAE with reconstruction accuracy identical to the second decimal place, it scores 2.5. An eightfold collapse in generation quality, from a change that is completely invisible to reconstruction.
That's the whole paper in one comparison. The bottleneck for diffusion language models was never the diffusion. It was the shape of the space the diffusion happens in. And I want to add the cost figure, because it recalibrated my read of the whole thing. The entire system trains on 8 GPUs. The VAE takes about a day, the diffusion model about 2 days. This is a small lab result. 3 days of compute to take a paradigm that was considered a dead end and pull it level with GPT-2. Whatever you think of the comparison point, and Eric is about to have thoughts, the efficiency of the demonstration is striking.
Before the thoughts, there's one piece of qualitative material we'd be malpracticing to skip. The appendix shows the actual denoising process, the text at intermediate steps. Juniper, narrate it, because it's the most vivid thing in the paper.
So the way to picture this is a photograph in developer fluid. An autoregressive model writes the way a person types, left to right, word by word, the page filling in sequence. This is nothing like that. The whole passage emerges at once, everywhere, gradually. They show a biography being generated. At step 10 of 50, the output is pure word salad. And I'm quoting the actual sample. She is one, actor, 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 asked, asked, actress, following for create. Just shards. Nouns and fragments swimming in static. By step 20, it's grammatical, but garbled. Sentences that parse, that have subjects and verbs, but say nothing coherent. The syntax has condensed before the meaning has. And by step 50, fluent prose. He was honored by the Canadian Screen Award for Best Supporting Actor. Full sentences, biographical structure, dates, the works. Coherence literally condenses out of noise, globally, like the image sharpening in the tray. And now the caveat, because the photo analogy breaks in an important place. A developing photograph is faithful to what was in front of the lens. This isn't. Even at step 50, across the appendix examples, the facts are frequently wrong. In another biography sample, the model invents teaching fellowships and contradicts itself about degrees. Award names get mangled. What develops in the tray is fluency. Factual fidelity does not fully develop with it.
Hold on to that because it's Exhibit A in the critique section, which is where we've now arrived. And let me say up front, I think this is a good paper. The critiques are about how far the claims travel, not about the work being wrong. But there are several, and they're substantive. Start with the headline. Matches GPT-2 sounds strong, until you remember GPT-2 came out in 2019. It is, at publication, a 7-year-old model. Now, the authors have a principled reason for the choice. They wanted matched training data and matched scale. A controlled comparison rather than a flattering one. Fair. But the unification thesis, diffusion can absorb language, ultimately hinges on whether this approach scales against modern, autoregressive training recipes. And the paper structurally cannot answer that. And the strongest recent diffusion language models are excluded from the comparison too. For data fairness reasons, they state openly. Defensible, but it means state of the art among diffusion language models, was established against older, smaller baselines. Second, even the comparison they do run isn't fully apples to apples. The GPT-2 baselines are the original pre-trained checkpoints, trained on a different corpus with a different tokenizer than text LDM. The one genuinely controlled comparison in the paper, a GPT-2 medium, they retrained from scratch on identical data, covers a single model size. And text LDM loses to it on the short sentence benchmark.
That short text weakness has a diagnosis worth hearing, actually, because it's a clean piece of reasoning. An autoregressive model, by predicting every next token, implicitly trains on every prefix length of every example. Every training document teaches it about 2-word texts, 10-word texts, 100-word texts, simultaneously. A diffusion model only practices the sequence lengths it actually samples. Autoregressive models get short text training for free, structurally. The authors name this themselves.
Which is the kind of honest self-diagnosis I like. Third critique, and this one's the deepest. The evaluation protocol is narrow. Everything rests on text continuation. Generate the second half of a passage. Score it against the one ground truth second half using word overlap and embedding similarity and that distributional metric. Think about what that misses. Many perfectly valid continuations score badly because they diverge from the single reference. Nothing here tests reasoning, knowledge, instruction following. No human evaluation anywhere. The authors note that standard understanding benchmarks structurally disadvantage diffusion models, which is true. But the consequence is that the paper's language modeling claim is really a text continuation claim. Those are not the same claim. And the metrics disagree with each other, by the way. The autoregressive models keep the lead on embedding similarity and on the distributional metric for the hardest benchmark. Matches GPT-2 depends on which column of the table you weight.
And Exhibit A comes back here, the fluent but confabulated samples.
Right. The appendix samples we just admired are the paper's own evidence against its own metrics. Word overlap with a reference can coexist comfortably with invented degrees and scrambled award names. The paper presents those progressions as coherence emerging from noise. A skeptic reads them as, what emerges is fluency, and semantic fidelity remains an open problem that none of the three metrics can see. One last small thing for the methodologically inclined. There's a scaling data point that's anomalously large. One overlap metric on one benchmark more than doubles from roughly a 2x parameter increase, way out of line with every other increment in the paper. Test sets are also modest, 1,000 samples per benchmark. Nothing scandalous. Just the kind of number a careful reviewer pokes before treating it as a clean scaling result.
To the author's credit, the formal limitations section concedes real things. The two-stage pipeline, train the VAE, then train the diffusion model, is genuinely clunkier than end-to-end autoregressive training. And out of domain, the VAE's reconstruction tops out around 97.5%, which puts a hard ceiling on generation quality there. Every word the VAE fumbles is unrecoverable downstream, because the diffusion model lives entirely inside the VAE's space. There's one more honesty point I want to land cleanly, Eric, because it's both a caveat and, I'd argue, actually the paper's big idea wearing a different hat, the trained from scratch framing.
This is the quen asterisk.
Right. It's true that no pre-trained component runs at inference. When you generate text with text LDM, everything executing was trained from scratch on their data. But a frozen pre-trained language model was in the room during VAE training as the geometric tutor. So the system absolutely did distill knowledge from a large pre-trained model. It just distilled the model's organization rather than its weights or its outputs. The veteran went home, but the filing scheme they taught is the whole reason the system works. I don't think that diminishes the result. But from scratch deserves the asterisk, because borrowed geometry is literally the contribution.
It's a fair asterisk, and honestly, the move itself might be the more durable pattern. Using a foundation model not as a component you deploy, but as a teacher whose internal structure you extract during training and then never call again. That's cheap, it's one time, and it transfers.
Which is a good bridge to the closing question. What actually matters here once the caveats are priced in? I count three things in ascending order of durability. First, the unification stake. This paper doesn't build the one architecture for everything model, but it removes the strongest standing objection to it, the claim that diffusion simply can't do language competitively. At GPT-2 scale, on continuation tasks, with 3 days of compute, the gap closes. That's a feasibility proof, explicitly not a frontier model, and the authors are clear that whether the gap stays closed at large scale is open. Second, the inference profile. 50 steps regardless of length is a genuinely different computational shape from 1,000 sequential passes, and for long outputs, that's a structural advantage waiting to matter, if quality scales up. Eric planted that one at the top of the episode, and it's still the practical carrot.
And third is the one I'd actually teach, the representation lesson. Can I get the data back out? Is the wrong test for a latent space, full stop. Two systems passed that test identically, to within 0.1%, and one of them was 8 times better at the thing the space was actually built for. The right test is whether the space has navigable geometry, whether a model wandering through it can get warmer. And the paper shows you can buy that geometry for the cost of one loss term, by aligning to something that already learned it. That's not a result about diffusion language models. That's a recipe for anyone building latent space generative models in any modality. The warehouse and the library will outlive this particular system.
And it's a satisfying kind of finding, isn't it? The answer to why doesn't diffusion work on text turning out to be not a missing algorithm, but a missing map. The field spent years iterating on the navigator when the problem was the territory. So, where this leaves things. If you hear diffusion language model in the next year or two, the question to ask is no longer whether it's possible, it's whether the latent geometry trick survives scale, and whether anyone can build an evaluation that measures what these models actually do well. Both genuinely open.
The paper's linked in the show notes, along with some related reading if you want to chase the lineage we mentioned. And if you'd rather read along, the full transcript is up on paperdive.ai. Every technical term in it is tappable, and the page links over to other episodes that share these concepts.
Thanks for spending the commute with us. This has been AI Papers, a deep dive. See you on the next one.